But his performance turned out to be adequate, with one or two bumps along the way. Sergeant Michek arrived a moment later, with Marco tethered to her waist. "And here we are," said the Admiral. "Not exactly constructed on a human scale, but I'm sure we'll manage." They crouched together in a spherical space about 10 meters across, with an artificial gravity noticeably lower than the Vitazul's. Although there was no main light source, most of the odd-shaped panels gave off some radiance, mainly from the glowing, thread-like lines that were laid out in an angular network all across the curved surface. Several octagonal tunnels led off at a variety of angles, and, as they crouched there, Cauchy began to wonder why their presence had not provoked a response. Then, Zhilinsky, who had been hunched over a small device, looked up. "In case you're wondering why there's been no welcoming committee, it would seem that those unknown interceptors have followed us here, so most of the Sun-Eye drones are out there fending them off." He held up a data pad with a fold-out screen, and they leaned closer to see. There were perhaps a dozen of the bullet-shaped craft diving past and between the larger ships, pursued by flocks of silvery drones, both arrowheads and discs. As they studied the images, the Sun-Eye vessel shuddered for a second. The Admiral tapped a control, and the picture swung up and zoomed in on a mysterious ship keeping pace over 300 kilometers astern. Magnification brought it closer, revealing shining surfaces and a strangeness of design that provoked a certain unease in Cauchy. The ship was large, easily twice the size of the Vitazil, and had a diamond-shaped profile, its prow one of the acute vertices. The flanks of the deep hull angled inwards and had lines of bulbous grey protrusions spaced all along them, when one of them irised open and an interceptor flew out. Their function was immediately apparent. This was a carrier, Cauchy realised, a capital ship that had seen combat going by the scorching and impact gouges that marred the glittering ornamentation in many places. The upper hull had tower structures at all four corners, and one amidships. The starboard one was a torn and blasted ruin, while the one at the prow had a Y-shaped mast jutting up from it. "The source of our captor's woes?" Cauchy said, just as the Sun-Eye ship lurched.
"Soon to be joined by sabotage closer to home," the Admiral said,
patting his bandolier of charges draped across his chest.
"Now, Sergeant, you and young Marco will hold this junction while Cauchy and I venture off in search of drives and generators."
"Yes, sir," said Michek.
"Excellent," Zhilinsky said, glancing at Cauchy, who nodded and followed him down a narrow passage lit by brightly glowing red, yellow and blue lines.
The passage was low, forcing them to move at a crouch, with the Admiral pausing frequently to consult his datapad sensor readings. As they progressed, Cauchy tried to imagine how he might describe these events in a letter to his parents back on the Retributor.
"Dear Mother and Father, in the course of the evacuation and escape from Pyre, we engaged our pursuers in battle, and I found myself taking part in an assault on one of the enemy ships. I and three others against hundreds of armed machines."